Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to have each one of you here. Welcome. Thank you, Nathan, for leading that song. It's one of my favorite songs. Well, I feel like my devotional this morning would have had more impact yesterday, because today it warmed up. And title of my devotional is When the Cold Drags On. And so I guess the moral of this story is that it doesn't drag on forever. So that's good too. But it just seemed like, sometimes, at least for me, I enjoy warm weather. And sometimes it just doesn't come. I'm ready for sunshine. I'm tired of wearing jackets. I'm tired of having to dress warmly. And I want to go camping without days of rain in the forecast, and it's just chilly and cold and wet constantly. I know some of you love that, and so for you, you might have to switch that around and think of it the other way. You're tired of the sun and the warm, and you're ready for cold and chilly and rain and jackets. So, but either way, often we wish things would change one way or another. Often we feel discontented where we are. We tend to complain about the season of life that we're in. When we're young, we wish we were sitting on the front bench. When we're still sitting with mom and dad, when we're sitting on the front bench, we wish we were sitting back a little bit farther. When sitting back a little bit farther, we wish we were teenagers and could drive. And when we're teenagers and can drive, then we wish we were a little bit older and could date. And when we're that old, then we wish we'd be old enough to rent a car without penalty. And then, you know, there's always something, it seems like, that we're trying to, you know, a little bit discontented with where we are, but, you know, we're kind of looking for this next thing to do. Now, I've had a very short life, but a very privileged life, and yet I still manage to find things to complain about. And so part of what I'd like to look at this morning is not complaining about the season of life that we're in. And I'm comparing it with winter because that's my least favorite season. But like I said, for some of you, that is your most favorite season, and so you may have to make a mental switch and still hopefully can apply some of these things. So the title of my devotional is When the Cold Drags On. And there's just a few points that I'd like to look at. So when the cold drags on, what are the things that you do? You look for bright spots. You adapt to reality. Come in by the fire, drink something hot, you find joy or in it or maybe in spite of it. So first of all, we look for bright spots in the cloud cover. And I'd like to compare that to God always being there for us. Whatever season of life we're in, even when we don't easily see him, he's there for us. Let's turn to Psalm 9. I'm just going to read one verse out of this psalm. Psalm 9. Verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And the sun is always there, even on those cold winter days when it's gray and it's cloudy and it's wet and it's miserable. The sun is still there. And verses 8 and 9 then, it says, or I'm sorry, 8 through 10. It says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And there again is that picture of, in spite of difficulty, the Lord is there for us. Even on those gray, dreary days, when I finally catch a glimpse of the sun, and sometimes it's just a bright spot in the cloud, and sometimes it actually burns its way through the clouds, and you get some actual rays of sunshine, and it's a beautiful feeling to see that. On Psalm 57, this is when David was fleeing from Saul, and he was hiding in a cave, and life was, you could say, it was kind of a winter, and it was cold and gray. But this is what he said in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And there are certainly times in our lives when we might feel like God isn't there, like he's abandoned us, just like on those cold winter days when we feel like the sun isn't doing its job. It's hiding behind the clouds. It's not working. But it's still there. Now, when the sun breaks through the clouds on those cold winter days, instantly the flowers start to bloom, leaves come out on the trees. It's summer. No, it's still winter. Still winter time. So I believe that that's much the same way in some of these difficult things that we face in our lives. We catch glimpses of God in them. Does it mean that our circumstances change? Is it suddenly summertime and nice and warm? No, it's not. It's still wintertime. It's still cold. But there's a glimpse of something greater there. There's something that we know we can have trust in. And so those glimpses of God in the hard seasons of our lives means that he's still there and he cares about us. So then the second thing that we do when the cold drags on is we adapt to reality. And I liken that to there are changes that might need to be made in my life. Now in the winter, one thing I don't like about winter is I hate dressing up in these large puffy garments where I feel like I can hardly move. Multiple layers of clothing. But as much as I dislike it, I still do it. Because the reality is that it's cold outside. Whether I like it or not, it's cold. Now, I could say that, you know, I don't like dressing like this, so I'm going to wear a short-sleeve shirt. I'm going to wear my flip-flops, and I'm gonna go kayaking. Well, when I get down there, there's ice, it's cold, and if I insist on behaving this way, I'm either going to get sick or I'm going to freeze to death. So the reality is it's cold and I need to adapt to that reality. I need to dress warmly, even if I don't like it. Numbers 11, let's turn over there. This was the children of Israel, and they were adapting to a new reality of life in the wilderness. And they weren't liking it too well. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 9. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, and now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. So rather than adapting to this new reality, the people complained. They say, we don't like this stuff. You know, we prefer what we had before. I'd rather have summertime than wintertime. But changes can be good. This diet that the children of Israel were adapting to, was it bad? No. It tasted good. It was there every morning for them. It was easy to prepare. It tasted nice. There was lots of it. Should have been thrilled with that, right? But no. I want some garlic. So often I tend to do the same thing. I look at the reality around me. I say, I don't like this reality. I want a different reality. And so I try to do things that pretend like I'm in the other reality, like dressing in a short sleeve shirt in the wintertime. And what happens? I get frostbite. And so there's a certain sense in which we need to recognize the reality that we're in right now and make changes to our lifestyle. Now, when I was young and before I had a family, I used to travel a lot. Kind of footloose and fancy free. And backpack around. And now my new reality is that I'm a husband and I'm a father. And backpacking around the world doesn't work anymore. Now, I wouldn't change that reality if somebody paid me to. But there's just a difference now. I do different things. I now buy pink tricycles and drive a minivan. So... But still, in spite of the wonderful reality that is my life, I still find things to complain about, just like the Israelites did. And the reality was that it was wonderful what they were being given. But still we find things to complain about. We have good friends. We have rich blessings. We live in a country where we can still gather like this and worship without somebody coming through the door and shutting us down or fining us. But still we find things to complain about. Next point, come in by the fire. And that I'd like to liken to encouragement. People that step in and encourage someone when they're going through winter time. 2 Corinthians 1, first 6 verses. I'm just going to read those here. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And comfort and encouragement is one way that we are warmed in those cold seasons. Or, like I said before, if you need to switch that around, you could say that you're refreshed in the warm seasons. But the love that we give out in this way is something that is a direct working of God, because these verses here say that as you are comforted, as Christ has comforted you, you need to comfort other people. And think of the ways that God has worked in our lives. The times that we have felt that peace and comfort of God. Are we giving that out to other people? Now, many times we've been comforted by others, and sometimes it's easy for me to enjoy that to the point where I just kind of think that it's time everybody comes and comforts me now. Without realizing that there are lots of other people that I need to comfort. And so it should be a reciprocal thing. I remember when I was in first grade, Sister Monica was my teacher, standing up here and singing a song, God's Love is Like a Circle, and I remember doing this motion, a circle big and round, and the point of the song is that it goes around and around and around, it doesn't stop. And that's the way that this comfort is. Christ comforts us, we comfort each other, and it's a circle. Sometimes I'm the one being comforted, sometimes I'm the one comforting. And so it's something that we need to look for in others. If someone's going through a cold season, that we extend themselves. Now, sometimes maybe we always feel like we're the one being the comforter. Maybe we need to make ourselves vulnerable enough to being comforted. Drink something hot. That I'm going to liken to feeding on the Word of God. What we take in us that can warm us. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's many ways in which we can ingest the word of God, and it soothes us. The word of God can soothe us. It can warm us in these cold seasons. So it's important that we read our Bibles, that we listen to good music. And it's important that we read good books as well, things that can build us up. And in these cold seasons, it's important, and in any season, of course, that you fill your mind with good things. Fill your life with good things, things that will upbuild, that make you a better person, a stronger Christian, someone that's more committed to the work of God. Watching trick shots on YouTube is often not the way to do that. And lastly, finding joy in the season we're in, or maybe in spite of it. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, and it was cold and rainy outside, and so I would get cold and whiny inside. And there were things that mom would bring out for us to play with that we weren't allowed to play with at other times. When it was nice outside, we could play outside. When it was cold and rainy and feeling grumpy and whiny, we had a light bright thing that you'd stick little colored pegs into and it would make pictures. And that was something that was fun. When I got older, I learned how to read, and I spent many, many hours reading and got to where I would enjoy that. You know, if it's rainy and on a Sunday afternoon and I can't do anything outside, well, I can read all afternoon. And we listen to story tapes. So there's things that we can maybe do in these seasons that can help us find joy in them. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4 says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." I'm not going to read the rest of that passage there, but what Paul was saying is Titus had come to visit him, and he brought this comfort and joy with him. And Paul's circumstances didn't change at all. He was still where he was. It was like it was still wintertime. But the comfort and joy that he brought was that there's this group of people, the Corinthians, who are thinking about you. He said they're praying for you, they're worried about you, they're wondering how you are, and they're being faithful. And that made Paul joyful. He was able to find joy in spite of the fact that his circumstances were still rough. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Now that "visited with evil" means judged. He's not going to be judged by evil if he's following the Lord. And this verse I take to mean that one who gives his life to the Lord will be able to find joy in the Lord. And he'll be able to find joy in the seasons of life that he is in. Wherever they are, even in those difficult times, there are still things that we can find that bring us the joy of the Lord. When it's cold, we play in the snow, if there's snow. Now, here in Missouri, often it's just cold and wet. And I don't want to trivialize any difficulties, but I believe that it's necessary to our well-being to look for and find the things to enjoy and be joyful in whatever situation we are, in the current stages of life that we might be in, and simply in life itself. Conclusion, when the cold drags on, we can't change the weather. We can dress warmly, light a fire, drink something hot, encourage a friend. Even behind the clouds, the sun continues to shine, and I'm still blessed beyond measure.